about the Taliban coming in and taking people just because they named the name of Jesus. And apparently somebody thought that I was saying that the church should have nothing and just accept everything. And that was not my point. My point was that when we're in a situation like that, that some of the things that we consider significant become insignificant, and maybe we need to think about some of those things now. And we also need to be careful of our view toward other people and our expression about other people that are Christians that don't practice what we practice, don't think like we think. The other thing that I wanted to mention, we talked about empty rituals, and Howard had brought out the fact that you don't just get rid of the ritual if it's empty. I think that it's important, without our heart having been warmed by the presence of God, nothing has meaning. If we've come here this morning and we have not been in God's presence before we came, we're going to go home just as cold as we left, most of the time. Because life has to come out of our relationship with the Father. Anything less than that is not what it's meant to be. I'll let it at that. I want us to think about this morning, that the only hope we have, and I think that's what Jeremiah is saying in Lamentations here, the only hope we have is in our merciful God. I had the privilege yesterday to be on a Zoom meeting for a couple hours with Eric and Kate that were here, that are in Greece working in the refugee, with refugee people. There were some people there from I-58. There were some people there, some Iranians, some Afghans, Christians that they work with there. And one of the things that struck me in our meeting, different ones gave reports, and then we had broke up into groups, had a time of prayer at the end, but really a blessed time. But one of the things that struck me is how many people in our world live without hope. One of them mentioned, one of the native people, Middle Eastern people, mentioned that the Muslim people know nothing of peace at all. From the time they're born, they know nothing about peace. And one of the things they talked about, and I've read this in a number of books, stories from the Middle East, one of the things that comes first of all and most strikingly to these people when they accept Christ as their Savior is that they experience peace. And it's overwhelming. It's something that they have never, ever felt at all. And all of a sudden it just flows over them, and they almost don't know what to do with it because it's such an amazing thing. And I thought about that also here in relation to hope. So, you know, and again, going back to some of the things they shared, I hear this over and over. Don't pray for the persecution to stop. Pray for us to be strong and bold and to speak up in the midst of the persecution. See, that the difference of hope, so if tough times come, I can have hope that those tough times go away. And, you know, I've mentioned this, we've heard this a lot in the last couple years, the hope that things will go back to normal. So if I am living under that hope, wishful thinking, and that doesn't happen, what's going to happen to me? Where am I going to be? But if my hope, my confidence is in the mercies of God, then where am I going to be? Whether things go back to normal or they get worse, where is my confidence? But I think those are important things for us to think about. So if we went back into the verses prior here, the first couple verses in our lesson talk about this, but if you read the first part of this chapter, Jeremiah kind of reviews what was happening with his people. And it was not pretty. It was a mess. It was bad. So when you look at all of that, why wouldn't you be discouraged and lose hope? And again, this is very relevant to our life. David knew what it was like to lose hope. He asked himself different times, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? Why are you like a troubled sea inside of me?" Hope in God. And when I have that hope, then I have encouragement rather than discouragement. Now, I want to just open this up. You can be as honest and open about this as you want to be. What causes me to lose hope? What discourages me? And I think if we're honest, and I'm not saying that you have to spill your guts, or you can if you want. But I think if we're honest in looking at this question, I think we'll receive an answer about what our hope is, where our hope is. So what discourages? Okay. Okay, when you look around and see all the turmoil and, yep, okay. Anybody else? Okay. When we see failure in other people's lives, or it could be failure in our own lives, can be very discouraging. I think that's one of the things, at least I find, and I've heard other people talk about it, I think that's one of the things about growing older. We tend to look back at our failures, and if we start to focus on them, we get discouraged. We feel like we haven't accomplished what we should have, or something like that. So I think that's something that happened. There's a plaque that we have that says, "Don't let yesterday eat up today or use up today." That's what was happening with these people. Yesterday and yesteryear was eating up here and now. And Jeremiah is looking at all of this, and so he's coming and he's saying, you know, here's all this stuff. What about it? And when he stops and he thinks and he recognizes, then he says, you know what? We can't let yesterday use up today. We have this moment to use for whatever purposes we would use it for. So there's three things about God that are mentioned here in this first section: His mercies, His compassion, and His faithfulness. How does God's character give hope to suffering people? Okay, so what if He doesn't do what I think He should do? Can I still have hope? And I think that's an important prayer to pray, that God's Spirit would move in their heart to bring them to salvation, and that if they refuse to turn to Him, that He would bring confusion to their plan. And Psalms talks about that, about the angel coming and confusing men's plans and so on. David saw that happen over and over. So, God's mercies. One of the most interesting studies you can do in Scripture is to go through and study God's mercy. The Scripture is full. Just this particular word that's used here, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. This particular word is used, it means kindness. It's used 241 times in the Old Testament. It's mostly referring to God. Just this week I read Psalm 136. And you remember every verse names something that God did, and then it says, "For His mercy endures forever." Is there anything else that you can think of God's character that is spoken of in Scripture as enduring forever? In those terms, in those words. Just something to think about. This word is also used in relation to people sometimes, and I think that it's important for us to remember over in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus, it's the Sermon on the Mount in Luke, he's talking about loving your enemies and so on, and he says, God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And then he goes on to say, because of that, be ye therefore. But therefore is who God is. Be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father. And I was thinking about this week, and we tend, I mentioned this before, we tend to think of God's judgment as a as a very high quality. And Jeremiah has talked about that a lot. But Jeremiah never said his judgments are new every day. And nowhere in Scripture are we told to be judgmental like our Father. We are told to be merciful like our Father. So I'd like to ask you, how are God's mercy new to you this morning? I'll start out by sharing. So yesterday, Friday, Kiara had open heart surgery. And I was up there with Tony. Sharon had gone down because TJ was graduating YWAM in Orlando. And so she had gone down to that, and two people were allowed in. So I went in. And when the doctor came out and explained what he had done and how it had gone, he was very, very happy with the result. And after a while, we were able to go in and be with her, and she was coherent, able to speak a bit through her pain. And then last night, just before we went to bed, Tony had messaged us and said they took her in for an X-ray, and there's quite a bit of blood in her body cavity, abdominal cavity. And they're taking her back in to open her back up again. And then about an hour later, said they're all done already. It went well. And they cleaned the blood out. So, you know, when I went to bed, I didn't know what to expect. But this morning when I woke up, he said that she was just really doing well, and that she talked about how in the operating room she had just sensed the presence of God in such an awesome way, just overwhelming. So this morning, that was new mercy for me. And then to go into the Word of God and see again who God is and what He's done for us. His new mercy this morning. Anybody else have some new mercy? If you were an Afghan this morning, and you found out that your family had all just been murdered at the hand of the Taliban, could you find new mercies? Could I? I think it's something we need to think about. And I thought it was interesting in Psalm 136 this week, all the different things that he named, and then turned over and said, "For his mercy endureth forever." Anybody else have any mercy on a share? I also got word this morning that my mother is not doing. But again, his mercy there. Thank you. Okay, his compassions. So his mercies, his compassions. Compassions is tender love. It's that feeling. And Hebrews talks about this in chapter 4. We have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmity, our weaknesses, our stuff. It touches him when he sees that. He's concerned. It matters to him about Rachel's eye. It matters to him about Lynn's brother. It matters to him about my mother, about Tierra. He's all about that. His compassions are there. We say, well, if he really cared, he'd fix it. Well, we think that way, but it's his tender love continues through all of those things. And in the Old Testament, this word is used 44 times. And it, again, that's just this word. There's other forms of this word that I didn't go into and so on, but just this particular word. His compassions never fail. In other words, you're never going to have anything that you experience in life that the heart of Jesus is not touched by it. Nothing. I find hope in that. And Jeremiah did too. So even though all this was happening to the children of Israel, Jeremiah is saying, you know what? God cares about this. He hasn't run off and left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's there and he cares. You know, there's some stuff you guys need to deal with, but he cares. He's there. And then his faithfulness. I love that song. Great is thy faithfulness. That has become so precious to me. Especially that last verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness is his stability. It's always the same. Changeless forever, failing us never. Promises spoken ever unbroken, the words of another song. Praise the defender, loving and tender, ever the same, forever the same, his faithfulness. And I want us to notice what Jeremiah says about this thing. It's because of his mercies that we're not consumed. Okay? So God is not, this morning, when I woke up, God did not start the day by saying, until you deal with yesterday, my mercies are done. His mercies are new this morning. What I messed up yesterday didn't stop his new mercies from showing up. What I messed up already today isn't stopping his new mercies from being. It's because of those mercies that I am not consumed. Do I deserve to be here this morning? Absolutely not. Some of the thoughts that I had yesterday probably deserve for me to be consumed. But I'm not, because of his mercy. His mercies, his compassion, his faithfulness, they're unfailing. They never fail. They never stop. They're never done. They're new every day. They're great. That means it's just It's just huge. We use the word today, ginormous. You know, it's just beyond our comprehension. It gives us hope. It's good. He's good. So I'd like for us to just think about these things a little bit, and I'd like for us to just share just a little bit what this all means in my life. And how, as I think on these things, it affects how I look at others. What do God's mercies, compassion, and faithfulness mean in my life? What does it mean for you, Lynn, when you think about your brother? Because whatever happened, God is still good. Exactly. Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because that's exactly what Hebrews says. He says we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Therefore, let us come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help and find grace to help in time of need. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Exactly. That confidence in His mercy and compassion and faithfulness causes us to return for more and find our needs met. Yeah. Maybe it would help us just a bit if we'd stop and think. How do you see God's mercies displayed toward the children of Israel? Just think back across the timeline and think about how God displayed His mercies, compassion, and faithfulness to the children of Israel. I think if we do that and then we put our life alongside that, I think it becomes pretty significant. Often and over and over. Okay, so, you know, they broke the Ten Commandments almost immediately. They broke them before Moses even got them down to them. And he gave them the Ten Commandments again, and they broke them again. Why didn't he just wipe them out? Was it just because Moses pled with him? Or was it because of His mercies and compassion and faith? And you know, you start doing this timeline, and it's like they broke the Ten Commandments, they built an idol, they worshiped the idol, they turned back to Egypt in their heart. We looked at all of this already, and on and on. I mean, it was just almost a constant, continuous thing that was going on with them. Yeah, they went into captivity. Yeah, a lot of them died in the wilderness. Yes, a lot of things happened. But Paul says the time of the Gentiles is only a preparation for what God is going to do with the children of Israel when He's going to restore them. So he's not written them off. He's not done with them. He told Abraham, my covenant with you is forever. And he told David, my covenant with you is forever. And he tells us, my covenant with you is forever. And when we turn to him for mercy, we find mercy. Even when we don't turn to him, there's mercies there. Those mercies are new every morning. Whether we receive them or not, they're there. They're new. And that gives me a lot of confidence, gives me a lot of hope, gives me a lot of courage. So thank you. I've